Good morning.
Brett,
good morning, Mr. Speaker.
Good morning,
Brad. Great to see you again.
Have you lost weight?
A little bit, but, you know, session may put it back on. So we'll see what happens.
Mr. Speaker, what is in this box?
I brought some locally baked Danish from Berlin.
Terrific.
My mom taught me, you show up someone's house, you got to bring a gift. This is your house, so I had to bring a little gift.
Your mom taught you well. And look at our in-studio producer, Eric. He's already opening that box.
How's the football going down there?
Football's good. We had workouts Tuesday. We have workouts tonight. Kids are already getting ready for next season.
How long have you coached?
20 years, if you count the youth level. Mm-hmm. I've been at the high school now going on 10.
10 years? How many years as a head coach?
2 years as head coach. Mm-hmm. But I have great assistants. I have great kids, great parents, great assistants. They make it possible. If not for all of them, I wouldn't be able to do it.
How are you able to separate coaching a high school football team and serving in a very important leadership as Speaker of the House?
Well, I actually heard a great quote at one point in time when I accepted the job. One of my good friends says, look, that's pretty amazing. You get to spend a lot of your time running around with a bunch of individuals that's really hard to get onto the same page. But you can teach them. And then you get to go coach football. But a lot of things cross over. You know, it's getting to know your players. It's getting to know the people you serve with both sides of the aisle, taking advantage of the talents they offer and try to get them going in the same direction. At one point in time, I thought it would have been impossible up in Hartford, but we did it with the budget. Early on your show, I think I kept saying that corny little line,
right.
Take the D and the R off and put C on for Connecticut. Everybody got tired of me saying it, but I stuck with it all the way to the end, and the other leaders did a great job. We came together.
Are you going to have a vote for you-know-what?
Tolls. Tolls.
You're going to have a toll vote?
We will have a toll vote. Up or down vote, I think the people of Connecticut need to know where their individual legislator stands on tolls. It's a basic fairness. Talked about it many times on this show.
Is the reason you're going to do it is because you know you got the votes?
No, I don't know where the votes are. Gone are the days of where I'm only putting bills up on that I either know I can defeat or I know I can pass. We saw that with the Republican budget. It came down from the Senate. And many members said to me and outside people, don't put it on the board unless you know it can go down. And I'm like, that's not the process. Mm-hmm. The process is for us to put the ideas on the table and have a vote so the people of Connecticut know where we stand. I'm not controlling votes, so I put it up on the board. We all saw what happened, and we moved forward from there.
But you didn't bring it up for a vote last year, did you?
Yeah, we did. The Republican budget passed the Senate when three of the Democratic individuals voted for it. It came down. I was not required to call it for a vote. I could have just not come back in session. But that's not the will of the people.
No, I'm talking about the tolls.
No. Tolls never came up for a vote.
Okay.
But this year it will. I've already promised Tony Guerra. Mm-hmm. He's been texting me every morning, reminding me of my promise. He doesn't need to, but, you know, that's Tony. He's very passionate.
He's a good man.
Very good man.
It was what? Just one vote. Wasn't it one vote, something like that?
Yeah, one or two votes last year prevented it from happening. And it's a larger issue than tolls. The debt that we pay onto our transportation infrastructure counts on our balance sheet. When you compare us to New York, Massachusetts, New Jersey, their transportation debt's not on the state's balance sheet. It's off to a side. They all have transportation authorities. The transportation authorities can set tolls. They're in charge of borrowing money to do the projects. We have a port authority and airport authority. We need to do a transportation authority. Put us on level playing field and make it fair for the people of the state of Connecticut. I pay when I go to New York.
But,
I know you guys do.
But you know what scares me about a transportation authority? Mm-hmm. It does get our lawmakers off the hook about voting on tolls, toll increases, price congesting, et cetera, et cetera.
The way we structured it last year, and that's a great concern, one of my concerns too, is that we would have the ability by a two-thirds margin to bring it back to the legislature and vote to approve anything. So they wouldn't have a, quote, blank check. Mm-hmm. It would all come back to the legislature.
But still, a two-thirds margin. I mean,
two-thirds tough, and I'd be willing to negotiate it to be a simple majority as long as folks were willing to come to the table to have the honest discussion of how we're going to fund a transportation fund that will be going broke in 2020.
One of the big discussions we've been having on this program for a while, including this morning, is we have a gas tax, we have a gross receipts tax, we've gotten money from the federal government, and the transportation fund is always rated and the money is put into the general fund. So why should we trust our lawmakers not to raid revenue from tolls?
The lockbox. The lockbox will be going on the ballot in November. We all voted.
Yeah, but is it locked, though? I've heard that for years in Connecticut, and the damn box is never locked.
It's got a secret entrance. No, in this particular case, any of the revenue that is raised directly for toll for transportation, whether it be the gas tax, the gross receipt tax, if we do tolls at some point in time, has to go into the fund and has to stay there. The one little ability for us to adjust is whatever we put in there just for a straight allocation from the general fund. That the reason for that, folks say, well, if you said you're going to pay it, you should pay it. Well, we don't know what's going to happen in the state of Connecticut. We can have a large event that causes us to have to move money around. So we want that ability. But if it's transportation money, it's been earmarked for that because of how it was raised, it goes in and cannot come back out for anything other than transportation.
Do we know how much revenue would be generated from tolls?
No, that's part of what we're asking the Commissioner of DOT to do. Come up with a tolling system that works. We can't just do border tolls. I've been telling everybody that. It'd be a great idea, but the Federal Highway Act in the early 80s prevents us just from doing border tolls. So they'll have to be far enough away from the border, and they'll have to be scattered around other areas. The Commissioner of the Department of Transportation is looking at that, trying to find out how much we'd make, how much it would cost, and then come back to the legislature.
Because the governor yesterday threw out a figure of between $600 and $800 million annually, and Massachusetts, which is twice the size of Connecticut, their toll revenue generates $395 million a year. So I'm just wondering where that $600 to $800 million figure came from.
I would like to know, too. The governor put out a lot of proposals. I typically don't like to respond. I always say, let's have a conversation. But that would be a large amount of tolling, and it sounds more like the congestion tolling that they have in Maryland and Washington, to where at some times of day, it's literally double dollars, you know, anywhere from $10 to $20 just to get onto that quicker access road. I'm not sure the people of the state of Connecticut want that.
Well, I'll tell you, going out, and I'm saying I'm out a lot, Dan's out a lot, but I have people hit me all the time about the costs to live in this state. And they're right. But I'll tell you, I haven't had many say the tolls. Yes, the tolls. I've had just the opposite. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I asked you if you're going to have a vote. And I know that it was one vote shy the last time. And so we could have tolls.
We could. We could. Probably take a couple of years to get up and running. It would look more like a public-private partnership, similar to what they did in Rhode Island, where you have an administrator come in to help set up the system. We would offer in-state discounts through Easy Pass purchase, but also we can give a credit on their state income tax, so we're not adversely affecting the majority of Connecticut residents. We really want to catch the out-of-state residents. They're using Connecticut as a pass-through right now.
Okay, Brad, I know the speaker has agreed to take phone calls. If people would like to give us a call at 888-574-2723, we could turn to the speaker for a traffic report because he just came by our highways, but we won't do that.
Okay, so we are going to get our friend to check the traffic for us, and let's check it right now. How does that traffic look, my friend?
Well, Brad, it's looking pretty busy. It's been a rough ride on 84 this morning. Westbound, you're still all snarled up as you make your way from Manchester into the exit 62 into 384 because of an earlier crash. And then westbound delays continuing from Governor Street to Sigourney Street. Eastbound's all jammed up through Waterbury. More tie-ups from Route 9 and Farmington into I-91. Southbound 91, a multi-car crash was cleared by Jennings Road. 2 westbound is heavy on the Hartford-bound Founders Bridge span. And 9 north, you're on the brakes through the Aragoni Bridge stoplights in Durham. Route 79 at Old Blue Hills Road, accident with injuries and alternating lanes of traffic as a result. This report is brought to you by Unbound.org. A boy from Kenya dreams of finishing his education. An elder longs for community in Guatemala. A mother worries about her children's future in India. Help them write a new story at unbound.org. I'm Cindy Waitman, back at 8:34 with your last traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
And thank you. Thank you, Cindy. 18 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, you folks can call if you want to talk to the Speaker of the House. This is the time. You'll be here right up until 9 o'clock with us. 1-888-574-2723 is our telephone number, and you can ask him anything you want. Of course, the toll question, this is one of the big ones. Daniel?
Okay, Brad, let's go to the phones. And again, our telephone number is 888-574-2723. And our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is the Speaker of the House, Joe Arasimowitz. Let's go to Marcia in Waterbury. Marcia, good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to just propose a question for our speaker. So we are no longer used to be tax Massachusetts, right? This is tax Connecticut. I've been a resident my entire life. It is such a shame to now see what's happening in the state of Connecticut. And if anybody in the legislature thinks that we want more taxes through this tolls, when we know there's money on the table, we know there's money out there, but you just don't manage it.
Okay, let the speaker answer,
yeah,
Marcia.
It's unbelievable.
Good morning, Marcia. Thanks for calling. I think there's a little misinformation there. There's not much money on the table. The costs of running the state of Connecticut have grown each and every year, but there's some misnomers out there. Folks like to say that's because we have too many state employees. Under this administration, we've gone from 52,000 almost to 40,000 state employees. We've cut almost 12,000 employees, and economists will tell you that's actually impacted our economy negatively. Our biggest difference with taxes here with neighboring states in New England is the property tax. Property tax is the one that affects us the most. So we need to look at how we do business in the state of Connecticut at the local level and the state level. I think we need to regionalize more. We have to offer services that the folks need, because our quality of life, our education, all those we rate off the charts. But we have to balance that with what we can afford.
Marcia, thanks for the call.
I think you're living in a different world, okay? It's kind of like what the Democratic response to the Trump speech, because, the problem we have is that you guys in the legislature just don't manage the money that you collect, and you collect a lot of that.
Okay, Marcia, we thank you for the call. I know you made your point. Go ahead, Mr. Speaker.
Yeah, I think I hear that a lot, and over the last budget we heard it. You know, cut state spending. So we, in a bipartisan way, looked at many of the programs. One of the cuts we made was the Medicare Savings Program. We dropped it to what our neighboring states offer. We dropped it to the federal poverty level. We were at, I think it was 211% of poverty. We dropped it down to about 110% of poverty. That threw off 140,000 Connecticut residents that require that program.
And we saw the outcry.
So that's always the balance. You know, it's very easy to say cut spending. But then you stop.
Yeah, but why do they have to cut things like that? That was absolutely absurd.
Absurd. And then we go to the municipalities. Then we hear from every local person, you can't cut our municipalities. Then we talk about every single program, everything we offer as a state has a face, has a person that's affected behind it. And then when they say cut spending, they mean cut spending to everything other than what I use. If you have a child in school, you're saying don't cut spending to the municipal education. If you have a child in one of our state university systems, you say, oh, well, don't cut that. That's much more important than anything else. If you have a child with developmental disabilities, oh, please don't cut that. So you're really down to bare bones here in the state, whether people believe it or not. We dropped from 80-some state agencies down to 60. 52,000 state employees down to 40.
All of that is absolutely true, yeah. As far as the reduction of state employees, the reduction of state agencies. Mm-hmm. I guess what gets people upset, Mr. Speaker, when it comes to CBAC, mm-hmm. is that the pensions, the medical costs, yeah. all of that has been a big drag on the budget. What do you say to that?
It goes back 40 years. 40 years of elected officials, whether they were governors, whether they were the legislature, state rep, senators, didn't make the deposits into the accounts. We've changed the benefits now to a level that's completely affordable, completely in line with what the private sector gets in a lot of cases. But it's the unfunded liability going back years and years. It's tier one. Tier two, that's where the liability of the program is. The comptroller and everybody else will tell you moving forward, our program is actually affordable. How do you undo all that time? And it's going to take a substantial investment into that. to
alleviate. But can we afford that as a state? Whereas we're losing high-income earners. How do we afford that?
You can't change it. The people that are retired, there's a Supreme Court case. You cannot alter the benefits of those already retired. Those who aren't retired in the state of Connecticut, their benefits are in line with a lot of other states. We're not offering those exorbitant benefits. I keep hearing about pension spiking. People say, oh, you know, the state police or the correctional officers or others, they spike their pension. You can't do that anymore. The latest CBEC agreement takes your lifetime earnings, if there's overtime included, it rounds it out, so it's impossible to spike your pension.
But why should overtime be included? I mean, this is, I hear this all the time when I'm out. I mean, the overtime, and also some of the salaries. We did something on that one morning. Yeah. It was, people didn't believe it, but it's incredible. And I think these are some of the things that nobody wants to touch.
It's a difficult argument, because if you still compare what we make in the state sector to the private sector, it's in line. It's not that far off.
But not the retirements.
No, the retire. But those are already folks retired, and you can't alter them. You can't alter the benefits of those already retired. It's a Supreme Court ruling, unless the state of Connecticut wants to file bankruptcy. Or get out of it another way. Yeah,
which a state can. As you know, a state can't file bankruptcy.
Yeah, so.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Bob in Enfield. Bob, welcome to Brad and Dan.
Go ahead.
Yes. The trucking industry has a contract with the state of Connecticut paying road tax per mile in lieu of paying tolls. Mm-hmm. Secondly, nobody's unveiled the governor's plan, how much it's going to cost to implement you know, where these tolls are going to be. Usually you have a plan before you make a presentation. And Massachusetts, their first year with the electronic tolling, lost $30 million in non-payment. And New York runs specifically $100 million a year in lost revenue for people not paying. And it's almost impossible to collect. So how is all this going to be handled? But usually a plan, and what's the cost it's going to implement? $100, $200, $300 million?
Okay, Bob, let the speaker answer.
Yeah, Bob, yeah. I think that's a great question, and that's the information that we need. Commissioner Redeker is gathering all that. He will be making a presentation to the legislature. I heard nothing of the governor's plans until what he revealed yesterday. So we're still waiting to sit and talk with him, gather more information. But that's the good side of our process. There'll be public hearings. People like Brad and Dan are going to talk about it a lot in the air. So hopefully we'll get the information out there. But the locations, the cost of getting it up and running, and what we anticipate for the inability to collect has not been factored yet. But that is absolute information that we need to have.
Now, you're going to have a vote. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's definite. There's going to be a vote on tolls.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, you do have, and I'm sure you're aware of this, the Motor Transport Association is against the tolls. UPS came out against the tolls. How do you handle that information? How do you process that information?
We'll all have an opportunity to have the discussions. If right now we put it out to the public and said, do you want tolls? It comes back at an overwhelming margin. We do. In most cases, I think they're talking
to the regular public.
To the regular public. I think it was AAA did a survey, and it came back somewhere around 50% and then plus some.
They're run by the Democrats. You know,
well, you would. The Public Polling Institute, which is a Democratic Party polling survey, is the one which did that survey for AAA. But that needs to be pointed out as far as the debate is concerned.
Yeah, I don't even know where they're from. Mm-hmm. But to that point, I think that's just the basis of they think it's going to be border tolls. Mm-hmm. And it just can't be border tolls. So information of how much, where they're going to be located, how we're going to handle the trucking industry, all that information has to come out. And that's going to come out this legislative session. It's Representative Guerrero's number one priority to get all the information out and get a vote up on the board.
Okay, let's go to Dave in Meriden. Dave, good morning. Welcome to
Brad
and Dan.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dan, Brad, and guest. Quick question. Does the speaker, you know, we talk about cutting expenses, et cetera, does the speaker have a spokesperson?
Ask him.
Do you?
I'm typically my own spokesperson. We have press people that work for us at the Capitol. Every legislator, I think, has a person they can go to for assistance with the press. It's not a one-on-one. We share multiple folks. So as far as a spokesperson, I'm the spokesperson.
Okay, and the next question is, I remember when Chris Donovan from Meriden was Speaker of the House. He had a ridiculous amount of money in what they call his slush fund. How much money is in your fund, and what do you need that fund for?
Yeah, I don't have one. I have no slush fund. I'll look back and find out what Chris had. Maybe I should be jealous, but given the given the point in time we are in the state budget, I've looked at many ways to curb expenses, both in-house and out-of-house, worked with nonpartisan staff to be very efficient. So no slush fund for me.
Dave, thanks for the call.
Thanks
and
for the answer.
Callers, hang in there. We're going to be breaking for news in about a minute and a half, so it wouldn't be fair to take your calls right now, but we'll get back to your calls following the news at 888-574-2723. Mr. Speaker, quickly, though, on the tolls,
yes.
Why wouldn't this issue be brought up in a full session of the legislature under a new governor?
I feel the time has come, and in 2020, we will be broke. We have to do something now.
Okay, it's 8:30, my friends, and we'll be back with the Speaker of the House. If you want to talk with him, 1-888-574-2723 is our telephone number.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump has until tomorrow to decide whether to allow the release of a House Intelligence Committee memo written by Republicans claiming FBI surveillance abuse against the Trump campaign last year.
Congressman Adam Schiff, ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, claims changes were made to the memo before it was sent to President Trump. A spokesman for GOP Committee Chairman Devin Nunes says edits were made to satisfy the FBI and Democrats. President Trump has the final say on whether the memo will be released.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland. John David Battaglia is scheduled for execution today in Texas.
He was convicted of killing his 6 and 9-year-old daughters in 2001 while their mother, his estranged wife, listened helplessly on the telephone. Attorneys have filed last-minute appeals. A state judge and a Texas appeals court have previously ruled that Battaglia was faking mental illness to avoid execution.
Fox's Jack Callahan. Fox News. You report, you decide.
That is a pretty good breakfast. You're not even eating.
Not ever.
Why not? What's up?
Kath and I knew that Jenny had been partying a bit. Found out she tried heroin.
Most people don't know what to say about drugs, but we do. Visit us at drugfree.org. A message from the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids, where families find answers.
Get social with us. The Talk of Connecticut is all over social media, and we want you to join us. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and check out our pictures on Instagram.
Just find Talk of CT, and that's us.
Get your news and information from the Talk of Connecticut on your phone, iPad, and desktop. Look for the Talk of Connecticut all over your news feed.
Internet.
This is Connoisseur Media's Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette, reminding you that March Incorporated provides residential programs for adults with developmental disabilities and respite care for their families in the greater Manchester area. For more information, visit marchinc.org.
The Talk of Connecticut, Bouvier Insurance Traffic.
Good morning. Not a whole lot of activity on 84 East through Waterbridge. Just the usual morning delays. And farther east, you're at a crawl from Route 9 in Farmington into I-91 westbound. Is still jammed up from Manchester out towards Governor Street and Sigourney Street. Just residual delays from earlier accidents farther back in the Manchester area. And then your usual tie-ups. 2 westbound is busy on the Hartford-bound Founders Bridge span. We've got some slowdowns on 91 North, Silasine Highway up towards Airport Road. Southbound's on the brakes, Bloomfield Avenue into I-84. And 9 North is jammed up through the Arrigoni Bridge stoplights. I'm Cindy Waitman with your traffic check on the Talk of Connecticut.
Getting your morning started with all the information you need. The Brad and Dan Show, the talk of Connecticut.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, my dear friends. And Dan and I are here with you. It's 8:33, and we have the Speaker of the House, Joe
Arisimowitz.
Arisimowitz. Speaking boy, of the House. I rehearse that every day.
Right, just say A to Z. It works much better. Speaker A to Z. Or just Joe works also.
Now, when will the vote be taken?
It will probably be in later in the session. Your callers, you have great callers. They're pretty tuned in. There's information out there that we still have to get. Where are they going to be located? What's it going to look like? What are the charges? Is it going to be congested tolling?
Have you got the votes to it law?
Don't know. We'll find out. I'm not afraid to throw a bill up there. Let's see what happens.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. Mike in Watertown. Welcome to Brad and Dan, Mike.
Mike, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Frank Watertown.
Oh, I'm sorry, Frank. Go ahead.
No problem. Now, look, on these tolls, right now, 91 and 95 have massive traffic jams at certain parts of certain times of the day. When you put these tolls in, does anyone take into consideration what's going to happen with delays for people and trucks and businesses trying to travel inside the state? Our own residents in here, not counting people going through the state, but our own residents trying to get from point A to point B, that's going to force a lot of traffic on back roads. And you're going to get a lot of truckers that are going to go around these traffic jams at the tolls on back roads, and these big trucks are going to tear up the roads. Did anyone take into consideration that?
Yeah, that was one of the major reasons. We had a tragic accident also that we went away from tolls when we did. But what's available now with modern technology is it's essentially cameras that hang over the highway. Your speed doesn't have to be altered at all. They'll either get a signal from your Easy Pass or they'll take a snapshot of your license plate and bill you. So it will not add to our traffic delays. It won't be another place where folks have to stop. But our traffic and our roads being snarled in the state of Connecticut are having a detrimental impact to our economy. We have to take steps to do that. And with our current funding process, we're not able to do the upkeep, never mind additions that we need to throughout the state.
Frank, thanks for the call. Why not consider the Republican plan, which called for bonding? It's a plan that they released in 2015.
Bonding seems to be one that the public would take before they take this other type of fundraising.
And quite possibly. The problem with that is let's call bonding what it is. We all agreed in this last legislative session to limit our ability to bond because it's putting debt onto our credit card. Can we max out our credit card? Sooner or later, you're going to have to pay it. If I took a trip right now, I can go stay after Waldorf. Maybe 6 months from now when that bill comes in, I'm not going to like it very much. And that's what's going to happen. We have traffic. We have highway needs. We have bridge needs here in the state of Connecticut. The viaducts going into Hartford, that is in really failing condition. The Mixmaster in Waterbury, another area where we have to fix that. Right now we don't have the money to do it. Even if we bond it under Len's plan and the Republican plan, at some day you're going to have to pay that. And right now we don't have the money to pay our bills. We shouldn't be adding to it.
How did we get to the point where we don't have money to pay our bills? I mean, if we ran our homes that way, we'd lose our homes.
Quite honestly, it was folks that came before me and years back, 40 years of not paying into the pension fund. Pension costs are now pushing out other costs. 20, 30 years of when we would have up years, sitting around the table and figuring out how they're going to divide it. What project do you want, Brad? What project do you want, Dan? And just doling out the money. This budget, what was so important about it to me is not only that it was bipartisan, is that it put in structural reforms. We now have the volatility cap to where if we get a spike in money coming in, it has to go into the rainy day. That's what we just saw. The repatriation money came in. We couldn't spend it.
That's right.
Now, in years past, what would have happened, quite honestly, is the leaders and a few others would sit around the table and say, hey, we just got this windfall of hundreds of million dollars. What do you want? What do you want, Brad? What do you want, Dan? Those days are gone. We've now made the system transparent. Spike in money comes in. It goes over. We put a bonding cap in. We can't just continue to spend recklessly and then say we'll pay it later. That's the problem with transportation. It's bonding. Sooner or later, you got to pay for it.
Okay, let's go back to the phones at 888-574-2723. Chuck in Naugatuck. Welcome to Brad and Dan, our guest Speaker of the House, Joel Arasimowicz.
Hi, good morning, Brad and Dan, and Speaker.
Good morning, Chuck.
I hear you say all the time about our medical costs for health benefits, and we all know out here that we work and retire and how much they cost. And I understand the legislature is planning on passing recreational marijuana. How could you possibly fail to think what that's going to do for people's health problems later with smoking? Why is this not ever talked about up in Hartford? And what about the children? Nobody cares anymore about our children. You know, the Democratic National Party agenda to get more elected votes is to keep the illegals in this country and passing recreational marijuana, and you're dumbing down our nation.
All right, Chuck, let the speaker answer.
Yeah, recreational marijuana, I don't know that it will ever pass in Connecticut. It's very interesting. I continue to bring it up and say if Massachusetts is going to make it legal, Rhode Island, New York, we should at least talk about it. What the impact of the state of Connecticut is going to be. Are we going to end up with marijuana in our state as on a recreational basis, no matter what, at historic levels? Obviously, the Attorney General coming out with his opinion and how the federal government's going to move forward will impact us. But we need to have the discussion. I don't know that it ever passes, that we ever have it in the state of Connecticut.
Do you see a vote on it in this session?
There'll probably be a committee vote, at least. I think we should.
Would you bring it up to the floor, Speaker?
If it makes it through the committee process and it lands on the calendar, I'll put it up on the board.
Okay.
I think that's another issue. People deserve to see how their individual legislator will vote. I don't want to just do it because of the money aspect of it. We shouldn't be doing it, we have bills to pay. That could bring in X number of dollars, because it's one of those unique issues that not only has an economic impact, but it has a social impact. I'm a high school football coach. We talked about it during the break and when I first got here. I tell my kids each and every practice, do the right thing. You have my cell phone number. If anything comes up, if you're in a situation that's difficult, you want me to come pick you up, I'll pick you up, drop you off. No smoking, no drinking, no alcohol, and no drugs. That message is slightly altered if we have recreational marijuana. And I'm not standing here saying we'll never do it, we should never do it, but we have to be very careful how we're doing it. And if neighboring states are doing it, we have to have that discussion.
By the way, I should also mention, this is really, just like the tolls, not necessarily an issue cut along party lines. You've got Republicans. We've had Representative Gibran on this program, who is for legalizing marijuana for recreational purposes. There are Republicans out there, including a Republican gubernatorial candidate we had on the program yesterday, who are for tolls. So it's not necessarily a Republican-Democrat issue, what we're talking about here today.
You know, but when you get into the marijuana situation, and it's always leading to something else, and nobody wants to talk about that. And I just could never understand why this state, I don't care what Massachusetts does, what the rest of them do, why can't we do what we think is right?
Yeah, and up to now we have. And it could be debated this year and not pass. But, Dan, you bring up an interesting point. And in Connecticut, I do think we're unique. If you look at the national platforms of both the Connecticut or the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, in Connecticut, it's not always the norm. It's dependent more on the legislator, sometimes the area of the state they're from, what their constituents look like. So you get these crossover issues, whether it be tolls, whether it be marijuana, on the Second Amendment. You're all over the place here in Connecticut. That's why I always urge the residents not to always look for the Republican or the Democrat, but really spend some time talking to their legislator, find out where they stand on the issues, and having votes on the House board, I think, are helpful to that decision.
Let's get back to the
back
to the telephone.
Let's go to Steve in Summers. Steve, welcome to Brad and Dan. Steve, go ahead.
Steve, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Okay, this is Steve from Summers, Mr. Speaker.
Yeah, go ahead.
Steve.
Okay, question for you. Our town of Summers just passed a supplemental tax increase on the people without going through its charter process of a town meeting. Did you and the legislature last session allow the towns, number one, pass a supplemental tax increase, and number two, bypass our normal charter process to do it? Go ahead.
I can answer the first question. We did allow, because of the lateness of the budget, for towns to address it with the supplemental payment. Some towns either bill at a one-year time frame, so they'd issue a supplemental. Some issue twice a year. We allowed them to adjust the second year. Previously in statute, you had to, it had to be even payments, so we allowed them to do that. As far as circumventing the town meeting process, I don't remember that aspect. I will check into it. But the problem was the lateness of the budget, the difference in proposals, whether it was the Republican proposal, the Democratic proposal, the governor's initial proposal, and then ultimately what passed was still reduced by the governor 3 weeks later. It put towns at a disadvantage. Yesterday, I met with the leaders, and I brought the subject up of we need to give the town some guidance. I was a budget chair. I was on the town council, and they're doing their budgets now. We cannot continue to wait until May or June to decide what we're going to give to the towns. Their budget's already made, and if we don't give them the ability to do supplementals or adjust the tax payments, we're going to see severe cuts at the municipal level that'll affect education, police, fire, the things we all talk about being very important.
By the way, for those supplementals for most towns, they're due today. Today's the deadline. Let's go to Patty in Naugatuck. Patty, welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you all for taking my call. I was calling first about the tolls in Connecticut, and sometimes people's understanding is, you know, you hear border tolls and people passing through our state, and they're not paying as they go through. But are these going to be border tolls or congestion tolls? Because I have been reading recently that if we did have congestion tolls, it's going to be exclusively to the people of the state of Connecticut just paying an additional tax. And that I also read that if we have border tolls, that we actually may lose transportation dollars from the federal government. Is that so? And just the other question on the marijuana, you know, sir, with all due respect, I have great concerns over people's health, children's health, unborn children's health, and actually sometimes it's what we don't know that really can hurt us or what we assume to be true that really isn't true that could also hurt the state. It's going to open another door of all kinds of other activity that we never even thought about, medical health, the criminals on the street, people driving. And it actually may end up costing us more money in the long run.
Okay, Patty, let's have the speaker answer the questions. Go ahead, Mr. Speaker.
So, Patty, I apologize if I miss one, and I think Dan
and Brad border tolls, you've addressed that issue, but go ahead again.
So for border tolls, we cannot just have border tolls in the state of Connecticut. You're absolutely right. If we were to do just border tolls, not only would we lose federal funding, which we'll lose some if we do tolls anyways, we'd actually have to repay some of the money that we previously got because we didn't have tolls. That's in accordance with the Federal Highway Act of the mid-80s. But it would be a combination. If we do congestion tolling, it would not be just for Connecticut residents. And congestion tolling means many things. I see a point in time, if we move forward with tolls, that there'll be the stanchions over the highway at various points. Maybe it's the 84-91 cross-section. Maybe it's the 5 and 15, 91 cross section, 84 and 8. You know, you put them around the state to where you're going to allow folks to pass freely, but still get the most bang for your buck, unfortunately. But the way we would benefit Connecticut residents is we could give you a discount for buying the Easy Pass through our in-state vendor, or in addition to, we can give you a credit on your state income tax. We can call it a transportation credit. Those all are consistent with the law.
Yeah.
And about marijuana, our children again.
How
and,
about marijuana?
The problems
that's
that
the
it
one
lead
that
to.
Really bothers me.
Yeah,
it really does.
It's a tough issue. And we discussed it last year. We almost had a vote on the House floor, and we decided not to move forward with it. I'm guessing Judiciary Committee, probably the General Law Committee, Public Health Committee will bring it up this year, and we will see what happens.
Okay. Let's get back to the phones at 888-574-2723. Bob in Suffield, welcome to Brad and Dan, Bob.
Good morning. Good morning, Bob.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Good. Speaker, I'd like to ask you a question. You know, this marijuana law, in the state of Massachusetts, they're having problems with it already in a lot of other states. If you recall, the Attorney General came out with an amendment stating that all the district, you know, all the federal prosecutors in the state are going to go after all these people are in limbo now that we're going to develop recreational marijuana facilities. They don't know what to do. So that's another thing I wanted to bring about. You know, why are we spending so much time on marijuana? And I agree with Brad. I think it's a bad element. It's going to cost us more in mental health, that the cost factor alone, and then you got to deal with the federal government, you know, because they're going to start prosecuting. They don't know. these people that are in the recreational marijuana business, they don't know what to do now.
Okay, Bob, let's have the speaker answer the question.
Sure. Yeah,
Bob, I you're absolutely right, especially out in California. There's these companies that are now putting hundreds of millions of dollars into these facilities,
right.
But they can't even go to the bank to deposit checks.
That's right.
Because the federal government has said they're going to start to crack down. What we're very comfortable here with in the state of Connecticut is our medical marijuana program. Our medical marijuana program is one of the best in the country. We have the safety features in place. The folks are getting the product. We're not seeing proliferation into the communities based upon that. So,
I agree with that, Speaker.
Yeah.
I really do. Okay. I speak.
Bob, thanks for the call, by the way.
So the recreational aspect, all these issues that we're talking about, I'm telling you, we've had caucuses in just the Democratic side of the aisle, and these same things come up. I've talked to Themis and Melissa, and the same things come up in their caucus. It really is an issue that crosses political lines. Crosses socioeconomic lines, and some folks say do it for the money, other folks say do it because it's going to be here anyways. That's why we need to have the debate. We'll have it at the committee level. I don't know what happens at the House.
So will
level.
There be a good debate, though? I mean, so that, because there are people that we've had on, Dan, you know, it's yes, 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 and I just hope that the bill could be defeated, and the only way it's going to be defeated is if we get out and talk to people and let people talk to us.
Yeah. Well, Brad, before we pass any legislation, I know we're coming up out of your money now.
Okay. Yes, another report. So stay with us. It's coming up to 10 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock. We'll get back to our special guest, the Speaker of the House of the State of Connecticut.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. The productivity of U.S. firms and workers fell at a 0.1% annual pace in the last 3 months of 2017. Hourly compensation rose 1.8%, but after adjusting for inflation, compensation actually fell 1.8%. Bolstered by growth in cloud computing and its corporate software units, Microsoft reported quarterly revenue that exceeded Wall Street estimates. But a tax charge prompted the company to report a loss of $6.3 billion a year ago. Microsoft posted a profit of $6.2 billion. Revenue rose 12%. Pandora says it will lay off 5% of its workforce as the internet radio company tries to rein in costs while investing in advertising technology and efforts to woo back listeners. The company hasn't disclosed its headcount since December 2016, when it reported about 2,500 employees. Shares up 3.7% in after-hours trading. On Wall Street, futures pointing to moderate losses at the open. That's Your Money Now.
Another Connecticut winter is here, and you still have that unwanted house you're trying to get rid of. Sell now for cash with MyHouseBuyer.com. Frozen pipes, high heating bills, and all those snow removal costs. Plus, property taxes will be here soon. Don't suffer another winter. Sell now with no agents, no hassle, and no stress. MyHouseBuyer.com. 860-325-SOLD. MyHouseBuyer.com. No commissions. Cash offer within 24 hours, and closing when you want it. Free consultation. 860-325-SOLD. MyHouseBuyer.com.
Friends, you've heard me say it before. A reverse mortgage is a safe, secure, and easy way for seniors to turn their home's equity into cash. If you've been thinking about a reverse mortgage, you need to call my friend John Luddy at Norcom Mortgage. John heads up the reverse mortgage group at Norcom, and let me tell you, I know John, and he is the most knowledgeable and trustworthy professional in the industry. Don't spend any more sleepless nights worrying about money. A safe, secure, reverse mortgage from Norcom Mortgage will provide the peace of mind that you've been dreaming about. Think about what you'd be able to do with that additional cash flow. Make all those needed repairs that you've been putting off. Pay off those credit cards. Pay those skyrocketing property taxes. So call my friend John Luddy at Norcom Mortgage today. 860-883-6783. 860-883-6783. Online at NorcomMortgage.com.
One size fits all has no place in your bedroom. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of Helix Sleep, and we know one mattress can't work for everyone. That's why we created the only mattress built for you. Go to helixsleep.com, take our two-minute sleep quiz, and we'll build your custom mattress and ship it to you for free. Try it for 100 nights, and if it's not the best sleep you've ever had, we'll pick it up and give you your money back. Go to helixsleep.com/talkradio right now, and we'll give you $50 towards your custom mattress. That's helixsleep.com/talkradio.
8:53 in the morning. Well, I found out through Dan Lovallo, okay, that MyPillow is going to be extended, and they are extended. You know why? Because you have purchased so many pillows. It's just incredible. And I just found out that the Speaker of the House, you bought one?
I did. I heard the ad. I was waiting on hold for you guys. I heard the ad. I went on the computer and ordered it. It's great.
My Pillow Now, remember, is 100% machine washable and dryable. But what I want to tell you, they are back with us. And to get 50% off, that's what I said, and that's not a misprint, 50% off a four-pack of My Pillows, go to MyPillow.com, click on the four-pack special, and call 800-659-1135, okay? 800-659-1135, and use promo code WDRC to get 50% off of two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. That's right. This is something that they're doing for us, and that they have extended the contract. 1-800-659-1135 or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code WDRC. MyPillow, what a product.
Okay, Brad, Mr. Speaker, Joe Arosimo, it's the Speaker of the House with us, and we've got a few minutes left. Before we go back to the calls, you are a high school football coach.
I am.
And obviously, there's been a lot of conversation about concussion protocol. Nick Bonaconte is out there. The state of Illinois is out there saying that youth should not be playing tackle football until the age of 12. What are your thoughts on that?
It comes down to the coaching a lot of cases. You have to watch out for not just the concussions. It's the subconcussive hits. It's the hits that really have no effect, but the multiplying them over years, you have problems. What I've done at both the youth level at the high school level, and I've coached both, I had an eighth grade team this year, is take the hitting out of practices altogether. There should be no hitting at practice. You don't need to hit at practice. You can do everything on air. You can do it with a bag. And even when we have team practice, it's what we call thud. There's no going to the ground. There's no lining up and coming downhill and smacking somebody. The games are aggressive, and there's enough hits in the games. So we as coaches have to do a better job to adapt our practice plans, how we do things. USA Football has done a great job. They call it heads-up football, trying to teach the youth coaches. And at the high school, we just don't hit. It's a discussion that needs to continue. I love the game of football. I don't believe there's a game out there that can teach you that team play and everything like football can. But if we need to move to flag at the younger levels, that's fine. As long as we're teaching the basic premise of football, we'll take care of it when they get to high school, and that's well past the age of 12. So I'm open to the discussion. I'm making as many adjustments as a coach at the youth level and the high school level now to ensure the kids' safety.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Chris in West Hartford, welcome to Brad and Dan.
Chris, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brad and Dan. Great show as always.
Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, thank you for your time. I just wanted to touch base on one of the issues that was brought up earlier, which is the municipal funding. And I know it seems to me that the future of municipal funding is that municipalities are likely to see less over time. And one of the issues the municipalities face, in addition to state funding, is the whole binding arbitration issue. And the paradigm there being that, the town has to put forth their best offer, the collective bargaining unit will put what's their best offer, and the arbitrator has to pick between the two.
Okay, Chris, we're running out of time, but we get the gist of the question. Mr. Speaker, yeah. Go ahead. Binding arbitration.
Well, this past session we talked a lot in the leader meeting to allow the arbitrators to really pick something that's maybe in between. That's probably a discussion that's going to continue to move forward. The binding arbitration system has actually worked out pretty well for the towns. It's a costly aspect, though. They have to pay attorneys. Sometimes it takes a lot of time. There's a lot of resources to it. There's now a discussion to where we take pension and health care off the table for collective bargaining at the municipal level, do it somewhere like the state basis. Other states do it to where the state will do the pension and the health care. When you're negotiating at the local level, you're just talking about the hours of work and the other issues of importance. I believe that'll be talked about this session. We have that Fiscal Stability Commission looking at it. But we can provide excellent benefits or good benefits to our municipal employees. at a more reasonable cost if we do it on a statewide basis, whether it be pension or health care, and we need to look at that.
Okay. We're out of time, Brad.
Yes, we are.
Mr.
Yes,
Speaker,
we are.
This hour went by in a nanosecond.
I'll come back anytime.
Oh,
and
terrific.
I will. Let me know how the Danishes are, okay. And if you want more, we'll bring them back next time.
Oh, we will, but for
you'll
sure.
come back.
Yeah. I'll come back anytime.
Great. Oh, that's great.
That's terrific. Yeah. That's great. Thanks. To have you come over so the people have a chance to at least, they wouldn't over on the Hill, but they can talk to you here.
I'm pretty accessible, too. I do coffee hours in my district. I'll do coffee hours around the state. Drove down to Stanford last night, had a discussion with a large group of folks. My job is to be the biggest cheerleader for Connecticut. We are doing a lot of good things. We have to fix some things, but we're doing a lot of good.
Okay. Thanks so much.
No
Thank
problem.
You. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, my friends, Dan is going to be right with you, and I will see you tomorrow, the good Lord willing. So stay with us, my friends.
The views and opinions expressed on the Brad and Dan Show do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Connoisseur Media or its advertisers.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
WDRC AM, WDRC FM, HD3 Hartford, WSNG Torrington, WWCO Waterbury, WMMW Meriden, The Brad and Dan Show, presented by Footprint Shoes and Accessories.
He claims it was secretly altered. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Congressman Adam Schiff is the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee and claims Republicans made changes after voting to release a controversial classified memo in the Russia probe. Schiff says that makes it invalid. He also thinks Republicans are trying to undermine the special counsel. The FBI also has grave concerns about release of the memo. Fox's Rachel Sutherland live in Washington.
Dave, Republicans who have read the memo say it shows the government used the Steele dossier as a basis for obtaining a warrant to snoop on the Trump campaign. Congressman Mark Meadows says Americans have the right to see it.
The spying of Americans took place, and so hopefully we'll see that later today.
Republicans say changes were made to the memo, but only to address grammatical errors and the concerns of the FBI. The agency and the Justice Department